Welcome back to Breakthrough Thinking. You just heard that it would be the Green Roundtable, but that was a pre-recorded episode. Those of you who are longtime listeners will know the second Monday and Tuesday of every month is Understanding Autism. We have here myself, Paul Loudon. I'm 28, about to be 29. Ooh. I've been living with Asperger's my entire life. I was diagnosed when I was 23. And here with me is Kim Isaac, who has been working with people on the autism spectrum for 15 years. She's a certified RDI consultant and has worked with other therapies as well.
Hello. Nice to see you, Paul.
Good to be here.
With the last few shows, we've been
Missing each other,
but it's good to be in studio with you. Welcome, everybody. I actually had a couple of announcements before we get started with today's show. One announcement is on March 30th and 31st, there is the 13th Annual Autism and Asperger's Conference here in Phoenix. And Paul and I have actually, we've been accepted to speak at that conference. And so there's going to be Dr. Temple Grandin speaking as a keynote. And there's going to be several breakout sessions with various topics. And we encourage you to go to the website, which is www.phxautism.org. Again, that's www.phxautism.org. And you can find information about times and registration, all that stuff. But it's going to really be an awesome conference, and you'll have a chance, if you're a longtime fan and listener of our show, to meet us live in person.
We'll be presenting what we're calling Understanding Autism: Life is More Than a Skill Set. And we'll be talking a little bit about the difference between just training things and looking at the whole quality of life.
Yes, so it's going to be an awesome time, and we definitely encourage you to be there.
And today, we're going to be talking a bit about, well, it's a new year, and it's time for fresh starts. So we're going to talk a bit about, there's always people out there thinking about getting started with therapy, and especially now, one of the big issues is budget and everything. So we're going to be talking about some tips for how to get started and some things you can do with setting goals and moving forward. And if anyone out there wants to call in and talk with us or ask us questions about what we're talking about today or maybe things we've talked about in the past, you can call us at 602-296-3632 or text us at 832-278-1441.
That is right. We love callers. Please feel free to call or text. So, yes, we are talking about goal setting. It's a brand new year, and I'm sure that you've traditionally, there's the whole idea of New Year's resolutions, and, there's also jokes about New Year's resolutions, and you sort of set them, and then the next week or month, they're kind of by the wayside. And that's kind of funny, I guess, sometimes, unless you're pretty serious about really making change in your life. And, people who have autism and their families and support people, are constantly striving for positive growth and change. And so one thing that I feel is really important as a parent, a family member, a supporter of somebody that has autism, is to really think about the kinds of goals that you're setting and why. It's extremely important to choose things that have value to you. A lot of times people may feel pressure on what goals to set, on whether it's something related to autism and therapy, or even just a personal goal where you kind of should on yourself. I should lose 20 pounds, or I should, organize my closet, or, whatever those things are. It's really important to ask yourself if those things are really what you want to do, and also coming up with very solid personal reasons why. So maybe instead of, I want to lose the 20 pounds, it's, I really want to have more energy for my family. I really want to get healthy and be able to have a better quality of life, that kind of thing. Now, what's interesting about goal setting, a couple of facts here. Those who set goals are 4 times more likely to achieve what they want. And on top of that, those who write down their goals are 16 times more likely to achieve what they want versus people who don't write them down. And I thought that was really interesting, the actual writing it down part.
I kind of want to know where that information comes from, honestly. I'm always dubious about times more likely, things like that, just because I can't help but question, maybe people who achieve goals are 16 times more likely to write them down. I mean, how do you determine which way it goes? But either way, if you're the kind of person who writes down your goals, you're probably more likely to succeed.
That's true. Well, you know what? I'll research further exactly where those stats came from.
I'm just always curious about that.
I know you are. I expected this one, actually. But no, it's a good point. I mean, aside from that, I mean, I think the point is, I think the act of taking the next step of writing them down, it is probably an indicator of somebody who's either more motivated or more serious or maybe has some more momentum.
Well, things written down are often seen as permanent. It creates weight to the goal in a way that just thinking about it doesn't.
That's a really good point. That's actually a very good point. You know, and kind of on that note too, as far as the writing, now, okay, I want to stay on topic, but since we brought up this whole writing thing, I had to throw this in too. People who write down their goals in present tense, or as they've been, like they're actually have experienced it or have it done, creates a feel of forward movement and commitment versus the pretense. Like, I want to versus I have lost 20 pounds versus I want to lose 20 pounds. It's kind of interesting to think about what you're telling
yourself. Where I'm
losing
20 pounds?
Right.
See, I think for me personally, goals work better when they're smaller. Like, I could have the goal of, now this is not necessarily a great one for me, I'm kind of skinny, but losing 20 pounds by the end of July. And that's, that's 6 months away.
Yeah.
Let's say it's 5 months away.
Okay.
Just
although
for division,
if you cut your hair, that might be the 20.
Okay, let's say I want to lose 20 pounds in 5 months.
Okay.
Instead, I would break it down to I want to lose 1.25 pounds by the end of this week. Just small individual goals and just keep going with that.
Right.
For me at least, 20 pounds is a big goal and it's hard to achieve. But 1 pound by the end of the week is a goal that I think I can definitely achieve, at least if I were the kind of person who was losing 20 pounds.
Right.
And each time you achieve a goal, you have the confidence, I got that done.
Right.
So you're achieving goals the whole way through. And I kind of feel like there's nothing wrong with picking a goal you know you can achieve. Because as long as you, after achieving that goal, pick a new goal you know you can achieve, you're always moving forward.
Right.
And for me at least, it's better not to have those stumblings and failures that sort of discourage me, even if it means I'm moving a little bit slower than I would otherwise. As they say, slow and steady wins the race.
Right. Oh, I absolutely agree. And actually, that's getting to, you know, the other point I had. So we're talking about setting goals. And so I wanted to kind of give some steps for people out there. And at this time, I'm sort of targeting parents and families who have loved ones who have autism. So that's kind of my focus in the next few minutes. But giving you an idea of some steps that not only just include the things we've just talked about, but creating some kind of order. You know, again, I have to say one of the first things to do is think of the bigger picture, to think of the big picture and have a very strong why. So you have to ask yourself, what's important to me right now in my life? What would I like to see happen? Not just the short term, but the long term. You know, what do these things mean? If I do this, how is that going to affect my life in the big picture and the quality of life for my family? So that's a really big thing to think about, because if the goals aren't meaningful to you, you know, why have them and create potential feelings of failure for yourself if it's not important and relevant to the big picture of your life? So you want to focus on the bigger picture and you want to have a really strong why. The next thing you want to do is break it down into very small, manageable steps. And this, to me, is one of the things that has helped me personally significantly, not just professionally, but personally as well. And so I'm using weight loss as an example because I think many people can relate to hearing that example. So let's say, you know, your goal is, you know, I plan to work out 5 times a week. You know, that's kind of a lofty goal, actually, but especially if you're just now starting or haven't gone to the gym or anything. And then you have to, so breaking down different steps. Now, not the steps may not necessarily be directly immediately related to that statement. For example, maybe my first step is finding a gym. You know, so maybe day one, my small action is researching gyms online. So that's one step closer towards reaching my goal. You know, the next step, visiting gyms. The third step, you know, really breaking it down to where every day you can say, okay, you know, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. Because it's really easy to go from the big thing to feeling overwhelmed. How do I even start this? You know, so breaking it down, what would the actual thinking steps be? You know, and if whether or not you have a gym membership, you know, obviously it's unique for everybody. But maybe it's just thinking, okay, well, I want to do these things, but I don't have a babysitter. Well, what are the steps? How do I maybe call a friend or research daycare at the gym? You know, so all of those little steps count towards the big goal. So sometimes it helps to write out the big goal and then break it down into what do I need to do to get there? And so, you know, just to remember that breaking it down, creating those small steps, as Paul said, really allows you to be successful and forward moving. And, you know, setting goals and making changes is hard. And so it's important to be patient with yourself and very clear. And I think that we're actually going to take a short break and we're going to come back to talking about setting goals and how to set them with meaning and successfully. And again, if you would like to call in, we would love to hear from you. 602-296-3632.
Or text us at 832-278-1441.
And we'll be right back with Understanding Autism.
How healthy is your business? Is your business plan helping your bottom line? Do you even have a business plan? Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business has over 25 years of helping businesses of all kinds and sizes to get them where their owners want them to go. She uses her special wellness check process. It's to assess where your business is now, and then uses her own unique 7 steps business excellence plan to expand and grow your business into something to be proud of. Barbara will take a holistic or a global appreciation view of your company, and that's absolutely going to make a difference to your bottom line. So call now and schedule a wellness check and watch your business grow. 602-750-4518. That's Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business, 602-750-4518.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, this is Michael Dixon. Internationally acclaimed Metropolitan Opera baritone Dmitri Vorostovsky will perform a one-time-only opera gala concert with the Phoenix Opera Orchestra and Chorus Tuesday, January 10th at the Orpheum Theater. We've seen the sensational singer in the Met's live HD broadcasts. Now hear him live in concert January 10th. It'll be the musical event of the season. Get tickets now at the Orpheum box office and at phoenixopera.org.
Welcome back to Breakthrough Thinking's Understanding Autism. Yes, we are playing a slightly different tune than normal because I'd like to wish our amazing co-host Paul a very happy birthday. His birthday's on Thursday, January 12th.
Yep.
So thank you, Tom.
Thank you very much. And we are back with Understanding Autism. For those who are wondering, Our other host, Dave, will be back with us tomorrow. We're looking forward to having him back.
Definitely. We miss him. Mm-hmm. He had a little frog in his throat, so it's a little difficult to speak on live radio when you sound like a frog.
Yeah. Maybe we should insure his voice, you know?
Yeah. As long as his voice is back to normal, he'll be back tomorrow. But we do miss him, and I know he's listening right now. But we'll have him back tomorrow, and I'm sure he's going to have a lot of awesome NLP commentary on our show today. So, anyways.
And we've been talking about how to tackle big problems. We've been using weight loss as an example, but as you know, the show's Understanding Autism, and we're going to talk a bit about autism itself. Everyone, you know, Kim has talked about how important it is to know why you're doing something, and for a lot of you listeners there, the why is either helping myself or helping my child or
my
you know, friend, family member, someone who's on the spectrum, and you're trying to help them improve their life. So
yes.
Often cases, the big question, the big why is helping them, and then the next step is, so how do I do that?
Right. There's the how, and there's also, also deciding, what am I choosing to focus on? I think, you know, in autism, many people are involved in different therapies, whether it's, you know, speech therapy or behavioral therapy, you know, family counseling, educational related therapies. And, you know, with your professional consultants, generally they'll sit down with you and come up with some really concrete goals. You know, so if you're seeing a speech therapist, it might be, you know, little Johnny will, you know, be able to use, you know, 4-word sentences by such and such date, you know, and those are helpful, very concrete goals related to improvement of speech. Well, while you have your professionals who are helping you set some of those goals, I really encourage parents to think about not just those goals and being a part of those goals, but setting family goals and quality of life goals for the family. Because a lot of times when you have a child who needs a lot of help, and they are involved in different therapies, the therapies tend to become your life. And it's, of course, it's important to help your child, but part of that is creating the most balanced, healthy family environment that you can. And so it's important to think about even the why of why you're doing those therapies. I mean, ultimately, you are working to helping your child, but what is that going to do for your life in the big picture? Obviously, the hope is that it'll improve family relations, you know, improve the potential and ability for your child to do whatever he or she wants to do in life, you know, things like that. But it's important to really focus on and ask yourself constantly, why am I doing this? It also helps you to evaluate when professionals are helping you set goals. You want to make sure that they are meaningful in the big picture, that they're going to add to the quality of life of the child. And generally speaking, that's true. But it's important to add that perspective in. So if your parents right now thinking of goals, so we're talking about the strong why and what you want for your family, I think it's important to branch out from just thinking about the child to also the family and maybe setting some goals outside of therapy. You know, maybe the family will have one family dinner night once a week. And then why? You know, so it's like, well, why do I want that? And maybe it's just to feel cohesive as a family, or to help the siblings feel like they're still that strong family unit, regardless of, you know, mom having to drive little Johnny to, you know, 10 different therapies. You know, so once you come up with that, before the break, we were talking about how to break that down into smaller steps. Because initially it could feel really overwhelming if you have a very busy schedule and you're driving here and there. It's like, well, we don't even have time to plan that. But if you are going to break it down in small steps, you know, one step could just be pre-planning on the calendar, you know, blocking out the next, you know, 8 Friday nights or, you know, whenever you can start that. And then maybe another step would be, okay, sitting down together and planning the menus, you know. So there are always ways to break it down so that it's manageable. And referring to your why continuously is going to help you stay motivated for, you know, when you feel like, no, I don't have time. It's like, wait a minute, I'm doing this because of this. And that generally will help someone go back to the frame of mind they were in when they set the goal.
And I think it's important to differentiate between why and what a little bit there. You know, why is to help them. What we're doing may be get them better, or give them a better quality of life, or solve their overall problem. I mean, I'm not talking about necessarily curing autism, but getting them to a certain point. You might have a big goal, but you don't need to dwell on the big goal. When you're running a race, you know the goal is to get to the finish line first. But while you're actually running it, especially if it's a long race, your goal is to pass the person in front of you, and then the next person in front of you, and then the next person in front of you. And if you keep doing that, you will get to the finish first. But if you just look at the finish line, you may not notice what the other races around you are doing. You get lost in the big picture and you lose sight of the details. So while you have what is something, you have a specific large goal, the why is the important reason. That's what's driving you forward. And then just focus on the small goals, because as long as you're moving forward, you will get there.
That's a really good point for a lot of reasons. One is, I actually compare for parents, you know, supporting a person with autism is definitely a sprint, not a marathon.
Marathon, not a sprint.
I mean, a marathon, not a sprint. Sorry. I was thinking of my next thought. Ooh, good catch. I'm so glad I have you to back me up here. It is a marathon, not a sprint. And what that means, though, if you think about, I mean, what Paul said, yes, you're passing one runner at a time. But you also think, what does a successful marathoner need to maintain the endurance and the stamina and the focus to even be in the race? And I think that's where the other piece of setting goals comes in, is a lot of times parents focus so hard on setting their child's goals that they forget to take care of themselves and set personal goals, and even setting aside time to rest. Because no marathoner is going to be able to continue if they're broken down and fallen over and dehydrated and, you know, all that stuff. So what I encourage when you're setting goals this new year, you know, for your child, to expand, you know, how will me taking care of myself actually benefit my child? You'd have more energy, you'd have more focus, you'd feel better, you'd feel more empowered and competent as a parent, and not to feel like, well, there's just no time for that, you know, and I know it feels that way. I've worked with so many parents that, well, there's no time for that. There's no time for that. But the problem is, there's only so long a person can go in a marathon. If they're not taking drinks and pacing themselves properly, they're going to collapse. And unfortunately, I've seen that happen with parents. I've seen them push themselves so far to where they're not very functional and helpful. And again, in the big picture, yes, you want to help your child, but if you're not in the right physical or emotional or mental health to be present, you know, you're not going to be able to be a part of whatever it is you're working towards. So it's really important when you're setting goals, so you have your child's goals, maybe you have some family goals, and having personal goals, and ensuring that you're working towards a balance of things that are going to improve quality of life. The other thing that recently I was just reading about too is, you know, how you model your choices and your goal setting and how you live your life is the strongest model you can provide for your kids on how they're going to learn what's important or what should be important to them. And so it's really important to ask yourself, too, am I modeling a lot of confusion and running around and, you know, kind of that Tasmanian devil feel? Or am I taking the time to model the thinking and the planning and considering values and all that sort of thing? So it's really important to think about what you'd want your child or your family to do and model that yourself. And so So kind of to recap here so far, so we have focusing on your values, looking at the bigger picture, and writing down the why. And it has to be a strong why, you know, the ultimate why. Why am I doing this? Why am I even sitting here? Chances are, if you're sitting here, you know, with a desire to plan a goal, you want to see something in your life that's different. So remember, it's worth the time and asking yourself what's most important to you. And then you do want to break things down into manageable steps and take one simple action daily. It may be making a phone call. It may be setting an alarm, you know, in your car to give yourself 5 minutes of rest while you're waiting for your child to come out of school or therapy. You want to keep track of one simple step that you're doing every day to reach your goal. Another important aspect of goal setting is constant reevaluation. And this is particularly important for parents of kids who have autism, because there tends to be a lot of ups and downs when working with children who have a lot of different needs, you know, sometimes medical, sometimes sensory. And a lot of times what I found in my experience, when a child accelerates in one area, there are you'll also see sort of a regression in another area. And that tends to stress parents out, and understandably. But it's important to know that you can maintain the long-term vision and goal for your child and learn to go with that flow. And it's hard. It's hard to do. But I think being a careful observer of your child and continuously reevaluating is the only way that you're going to be able to support them in what they need in the moment, and being able to shift back to the goal when it's the right time. And ups and downs are absolutely part of this process. And I wonder if, Paul, can you think of anything in your own experience where you felt like you've had some ups and downs? And, you know, I just threw...
I wouldn't really be able to come up with specific examples, just because that's mostly what my experience has been ups and downs. I mean,
right.
You know, there are times where it's tough and it's just very hard for me, but... I really don't have any good specific stories to tell.
That's okay. I mean, and maybe if you think of anything later on, I think the point that I was trying to make, like I've said in my experience, I've seen so much of this, and I think that sometimes the downs can be frightening to people, whether it's parents or maybe the person on the spectrum feeling worried, like, oh man, I'm feeling this way. You know, how long is this feeling going to last? How long is this situation going to last? It's just important to be where you need to be in the moment. And let that part flow. And when things are on the up, you get back on track with the goals and, you know, that you're working on. So it's really important to be firm and committed to your goal, but flexible at the same time. And so, and the only way to really maintain that successfully is that constant reevaluation, and being okay with that flexibility. So, and I just had a text from our very loved and missed host of the show. And of course, he wants to remind everybody that your beliefs definitely impact your goals. And you also have to believe that you are capable of achieving them. And I think something that helps that is when you do break it down into small steps, manageable steps. And maybe, you know, it's also okay to ask for help. So I think we're going to take another short break. And when we come back, we're going to finish our discussion on talking about setting goals for this new year and thinking about balance and what the implications are when you have a child with autism. If you want to call in, you can at 602-296-3632.
Or text us at 832-278-1441.
And we'll be right back with more Understanding Autism.
At Beerham Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, this is Michael Dixon. Internationally acclaimed metropolitan opera baritone Dmitri Vodostovsky will perform a one-time-only opera gala concert with the Phoenix Opera Orchestra and Chorus Tuesday, January 10th at the Orpheum Theater. We've seen the sensational singer in the Met's live HD broadcasts. Now hear him live in concert January 10th. It'll be the musical event of the season. Get tickets now at the Orpheum box office and at phoenixopera.org.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement offering compromise, or not currently collectible status. Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Welcome back to Breakthrough Thinking's Understanding Autism. I am Kim Isaac. I am an autism specialist, a certified RDI consultant, and I specialize in working with teens, adults, and family on the spectrum, and families who aren't on the spectrum that have loved ones on the spectrum. And I have a co-host here with me, Paul Loudon, and he is soon to be 29-year-old adult on the autism spectrum. And he was diagnosed actually later in life at age 23. And he's come a long way in developing awarenesses on, you know, some of the things that have happened to him, not knowing he was on the spectrum and knowing when he was on the spectrum. So you've had a unique experience interacting with others and figuring out.
I've had a lot of unique experiences.
Well, that's true. That's a whole other. We can just have an all about Paul show. Actually, probably like a series of Paul show here. He's a very interesting individual.
The early years, the.
Definitely. Yeah. But we're so thankful to have him, and he adds a lot of not just perspective, but, you know, as a person, he's very insightful in general. So we're glad to have you. And, of course, his birthday is going to be on Thursday. Please write something on our Facebook for Paul. Okay, so I wanted to kind of recap briefly what we just talked about in the first half of the show, because I actually want to move into talking about goal setting for adults on the spectrum. So maybe you're an adult that's listening, and you're having trouble setting your own goals and following through. And so I really want to make sure that we provide some tips and conversation about that as well. As far as the parents and what we just talked about in the first half of the show, I want to kind of review. So one, you want to focus on your values and really think about the big picture and write down your why, the why you want to set these goals and why they're important to you. You want to write them down. You want to write them down in the present tense or as they've already happened. You want to break them down into very small, manageable steps, and you want to take one small action daily towards your big goal and continuously reevaluate. And that is a really great formula towards embracing your goal as a process and working towards it at a pace that you can manage.
And I just like to add a little something.
Yes.
No matter what happens, even if something goes terribly wrong and you feel like everything's falling apart, remember that you're still moving forward. Even when things go wrong, that's something you can learn from, that there's new information there. Why did it go wrong? What happened here? How can I improve it later? So no matter what happens, as long as you choose it to be, it's a step forward.
Absolutely. And actually, you reminded me of another thing I want to add before we move on, is remembering as a parent or, you know, a loved one of someone with autism, you remember to set goals for yourself and your family and stay involved in your child's, you know, therapeutic goals. But it's also important to, you know, have life beyond therapy. And obviously the things you're working on in therapy are meant towards, you know, improving quality of life for everybody. So definitely, you know, create that balance the best you can. Okay, now we are talking about one of my favorite groups of people is adults on the spectrum. And I've worked with many adults who, you know, they want to set goals, but it can be very difficult because sometimes people on the spectrum have difficulty projecting themselves out into the future to think about. So we've talked about the idea of the big picture and what that might look like. And sometimes it's really hard for a person on the spectrum to project themselves into the future and get a picture or a feeling of what that might feel like or be like to be in a future scenario. So that can be really hard in terms of personal goal setting. If you can't really have a sense of that, it's hard to know how to, you know, where to start or how to phrase it. Can you relate to that, Paul?
I'm not entirely sure. It's been more of I don't know what to set as goals. I feel like projecting the future is sort of one of my strong points. I feel like I'm not often surprised by what happens. That mm-hmm. could in part be by, you know, me choosing to go in a path that is predictable, so I don't really know. But, I mean, it is hard. To me, it's hard to know what I should be setting as goals and hard to know how to evaluate whether I've succeeded. Because from my perspective, at least, a lot of the challenges are not being able to understand or do certain things. And how do I know if my understanding is right? How do I know if my awareness is improved? Because it may not feel like I'm more aware of something because I'm improving it subconsciously. So a lot of it for me is less difficulty projecting and more difficulty having a success condition.
Mm, okay. That's interesting. I mean, that's another thing I think I've heard. Well, I've heard from you this, and I've also heard from other people. For some people, but apparently not as much for you, there is that potential projection issue. And a lot of these things relate to executive functioning. And so we know part of the core deficits in autism are related to that concept of executive functioning, where there's an element of being able to be flexible, being able to monitor degrees of change. I think that's somewhat what you're getting at.
Yeah.
For yourself. And all of those things are, you know, planning, working memory, attention even can be an obstacle towards reaching a goal. Something I've seen with adults on the spectrum is, you know, there is that goal, but sometimes it's very hard to shift out of what they're doing to another task or event that would actually help them reach their goal. So by the end of the day, maybe there was an intention set of, you know, okay, I'm going to walk today. I'm just going to get out of the house. And then maybe they get involved in, you know, something online or whatever. And it's very hard for them to do that rapid shift into moving themselves forward. And that can be an obstacle too. So, you know, one of the things that I think is important for adults is to have somebody, some kind of support buddy or somebody that you can talk to about what you're experiencing and what you want, and somebody that can help sort of guide you on how to figure some of that out. Because another thing that I've seen is, you know, some adults on the spectrum haven't really internalized what setting those goals or knowing what goals to set would mean to them in the big picture. I work with an adult who has made goals for himself based on what he thinks society wants from him versus what he really wants. And that's been a huge obstacle, because what happens is there's a lot of frustration that comes into play, and that becomes an obstacle to him meeting the goal he thinks he should have. So he ends up frustrated and stuck and not actually moving in any direction. And it's really hard because we have to spend a lot of time sort of de-escalating the element of frustration in order to get back to that neutral ground to be able to move forward in any way. And so, you know, the same steps that we talked about for parents in terms of evaluating the big picture is very important for people on the spectrum. And if that's something that's hard for you, you know, I would suggest that you seek out help, whether it's from a friend or a family member, or, you know, even if you go for a consultation with a professional to help you sort of organize yourself in that manner, because it's very important that people set goals that are of value and meaning to them. And I think in the past, you and I have talked about that sometimes where, you know, the other thing is an adult may not have a strong attachment to anything in particular. Some people are quite content and they don't really have that drive or motivation to change anything.
And that's sort of where I tend to feel like I'm at. I mean, you talked about picking goals in relation to what you feel society thinks you should be rather than yourself. A lot of the time, I feel like my personal goal would just be to ask most of society to leave me alone. So I do feel like a lot of my goals are more related to what society expects of me, honestly, because there aren't a lot of personal goals that I have other than be less frustrated with everything. And
But that's a very important one. I mean, even if that's the only one you have, that's significant.
But the only way I can see to reach that goal is to learn to accept the things that I kind of don't want to learn to accept. So it's right. sort of contradictory.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think that's another thing I tend to see, too, is, I mean, especially with adults, I think, you know, there's a lot of frustration that occurs within social interactions and expectations and stuff. But what's interesting about the progression of all this, as a person learns to be more competent within interactions and understand things better, their thinking and their goals will gradually change, because you're going to learn something that maybe you didn't know and integrate it into your own self. And there's going to be a new thought or a new experience that might, you know, push you in one direction or the other. And I think it's definitely a process. I'll say that all the time. But people, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And once you gradually learn through new experiences, your perspective and your wants may change. I mean, they may not, but they may, to varying degrees. And so it's really important to stay open and really just put yourself in a position to continuously learn, which I think I know Paul does a really excellent job of, you know, being open to thinking about himself and what he sees, and ask questions and be willing to try, I think is important. Because if a person just shuts down entirely, there's really no learning or insight or awareness that can happen. So I think we're going to take a final short break. And when we come back, we'll continue talking about goal setting for adults on the spectrum. We would love to hear from you. Don't be shy. 602-296-3632 by phone.
Or text us at 832-278-1441.
And we'll be right back with more Understanding Autism.
How healthy is your business? Is your business plan helping your bottom line? Do you even have a business plan? Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business has over 25 years of helping businesses of all kinds and sizes to get them where their owners want them to go. She uses her special wellness check process. It's to assess where your business is now, and then uses her own unique 7 steps business excellence plan to expand and grow your business into something to be proud of. Barbara will take a holistic or a global appreciation view of your company, and that's absolutely going to make a difference to your bottom line. So call now and schedule a wellness check and watch your business grow. 602-750-4518. That's Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business. 602-750-4518.
Hello, this is Michael Dixon. Internationally acclaimed metropolitan opera baritone Dmitri Vorostovsky will perform a one-time-only opera gala concert with the Phoenix Opera Orchestra and Chorus Tuesday, January 10th at the Orpheum Theater. We've seen the sensational singer in the Met's live HD broadcasts. Now hear him live in concert January 10th. It'll be the musical event of the season. Get tickets now at the Orpheum box office and at phoenixopera.org.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism. Welcome back to Breakthrough Thinking's Understanding Autism. I am Kim Isaac, and I have my co-host here, Paul Loudon. And we're just continuing our discussion here about goal setting. And we were, just before the break, we were talking about goal setting for adults on the spectrum. And, you know, one thing I want to emphasize is, while there are some commonalities in terms of core deficits of autism and executive functioning, you know, everybody's obviously first and foremost a unique individual, and everybody's going to have differences as well. So one thing that's, you know, Paul's experienced doesn't necessarily mean everybody else on the spectrum has experienced. But it's really good to take account to hear about different people's experiences, because there's certainly more than one person, you know, on the spectrum who's experienced it. But, you know, one thing that kind of came up in my mind, well, two things during the break was, you know, how to, like, where to start, or what's one small step a person can take towards, you know, even maybe considering the idea of goal setting. I mean, sometimes the thought of it is too overwhelming, and a person may retreat, you know, into their private space and just kind of avoid thinking about it. And, you know, a couple of things on that note is just to do something different in your daily routine. That could sort of spark some shift in your thinking and some perspective and a potentially, you know, unique experience or interaction that can spark an idea. So if maybe you're a person who likes to, you know, read online at home, maybe you could go sit, you know, in a park or a library or something and read, just to get yourself, just to shift your mind out of what your typical routine is. And again, you take small steps, because a lot of, you know, some people may not be comfortable being out in the world, but maybe taking very small steps to where you go out and you're in a more sort of isolated spot, like the park, where there's not a lot of, you know, chaos, instead of just jumping into the coffee shop reading or something. But think about, what's the next small step that I can take towards, you know, potentially learning something or potentially trying something new? And, you know, maybe it's just sitting on the steps of your apartment complex instead of sitting in the apartment. So as small as comfortable is okay. The important part is making some kind of change at your comfort level. You know, and another thing I was thinking about was obstacles. So one obstacle could be, you know, maybe uncomfortability with interacting with others, or facing potential, you know, confrontations or uncomfortable situations. Another thing could be environmental. You know, there are a lot of people on the spectrum that have sound sensitivities and even maybe some visual sensitivities with bright lights and things like that. And so all of that stuff is okay. You just have to maybe be a little more creative about where you choose to put yourself. But again, encouraging that one small difference or that one small step towards a shift in your mindset. Paul, can you think of any small step that you recall, you know, taking that, just that got you out of your routine, or any thoughts about getting out of routines?
unfortunately, I can't think of any good small steps that okay. really, I used to go out at night. This was when I lived in Austin. There's a great restaurant there called the Cafe at Kirby Lane. It's actually a chain. The first one was on Kirby Lane, but there was one much nearer where I lived. And I used to go there. I didn't sleep well, so I'd often be up really late at night, 2 or 3 a.m. And I would go out and read there rather than at home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of, it got me out of the apartment when I wouldn't have been leaving it otherwise.
Right.
So that's sort of that sort of thing.
No, that's definitely a step.
And after I was there a while, you know, I was sort of a regular, and they would occasionally talk to me or something. So it sort of moved things forward in a strange way.
Yeah. But no, I mean, sometimes, again, there's no step too small. And I think, I don't even know, we can get into societal factors that how that incurred, you know, affects people and their goal setting and their forward movement. But these changes or decisions don't have to be these huge leaps. They can be a tiny, tiny, just a shuffle step forward, or even just, you know, a quarter of an inch forward. And that's okay, because people have to be ready for what they're ready for. And I think, you know, in autism and people with autism, there's a lot of anxiety that goes along with change. And it's important that you realize, you know, first of all, it's okay to have anxiety, and not to let that you know, encourage a shutdown response to where you're like, well, I just can't do anything. There's always one tiny step forward that you can take, very, very small. And so I would encourage adults on the spectrum to think, to break those things down as small as they're comfortable with, and to know that that's okay. You know, the other thing I hear a lot of is if it's not this, and this is part of core deficits, if it's not kind of the all or nothing mentality, either I do the goal or I don't. But
well, yeah. Another thing, as you were talking about tiny steps, is another thing you can do if you aren't ready to do something new yet, is ask the question why more. Look at, do you always park in the same parking spot? Why do I pick this parking spot? Do I like it because it's close to my apartment? Do I like it because of the shade that it gets? Or do I do it just because I've always done it? Why do I like this restaurant? Why do I do this? The question why, especially when directed at yourself, can teach you a lot about yourself, but it can also get you thinking about new things, which can sort of help. You know, why do I always eat at this restaurant? Well, I really like this dish that they serve. I wonder if other restaurants serve a better version of that. You know, that it, mm-hmm. it can create new questions once you understand a little bit more about why you're doing things. And it can also help you with that moving forward because you're learning things about yourself. So that's sort of another direction you can come at it with that's really incredibly small steps. But there are always questions about yourself that you haven't asked yet.
That's true. And I think sometimes people may not think that that's, well, why would I ask myself? But, you know, part of goal setting is getting to know yourself and getting to know yourself at the present. And also, you know, anything that you start thinking of, where would I want to see myself? You know, what do I like about my life now? What would I like to see change? And I think Paul makes an excellent point of, you know, it can be hard to figure out, well, how do I get to know myself? But I think if you start asking yourself questions and just paying attention to your choices can be a really good start for that.
I mean, I think, yeah, that anything you do, you can ask, why did I choose to do that? And learn something from yourself once you figure out the answer.
Absolutely. And, you know, and again, I think, you know, another thing I hear from adults on the spectrum is they find it very hard. Like if they wanted to ask for support, sometimes, you know, even the concept of this. So maybe you're listening and you're an adult on the spectrum and this all sounds really good. You're thinking, yeah, I think I can do that. But a lot of times adults may need support from the outside on following through. And, you know, two thoughts on that. One is I very much encourage that. It's okay to ask for help. And, you know, it can be actually very helpful for to start the momentum and actually the process of whatever it is you want to do. Now, on the flip side of that, you know, I've also heard that it can be more stressful sometimes to go to another person because it's hard for that person to understand some of the difficulties you have and things like that. And I guess I would just encourage you not to give up on people. You know, just because you go to one person and maybe that person's not a good fit, whether it's a friend or a professional, you know, not to give up on the idea of seeking out some support. There are a lot of support groups out there for people on the spectrum. And actually, if you go to that website we gave at the beginning, the Autism Society, it's www.phxautism.org. They also list out various groups and opportunities for you to find, you know, support groups and resources. But I also understand, and we kind of talked about this earlier too, is part of the ups and downs for an adult on the spectrum may be feelings of loneliness or kind of organizing what my next step should be. And as Paul said, how to manage, you know, my progression. Those can be really difficult things. And I think, you know, pacing yourself, taking care of yourself, if you spend some time, you know, asking self questions and then you need a break the next day, that's perfectly fine. You know, you just have to let yourself go with how you're feeling and go with the flow in order to maintain the stamina and the hope to really make, you know, some of that change. So, and I also know that there are some, you know, counseling can be a really, it could potentially be helpful to people on the spectrum if you can find one that specializes in working with adults on the spectrum, which can be hard to do, but it's definitely worth, you know, seeking out that possibility. Paul, can you think of anything else you want to say on the note of Setting goals as an adult on the spectrum or in general?
not especially. Okay. I think we've pretty much covered it. Small goals. I feel it's beneficial to pick goals you know you can succeed at. Even if you have to make it tiny, picking one that you know you'll succeed at, then you do it, you succeed, you feel good, and then you can pick another tiny goal. It doesn't matter how small. It can help you feel like you're constantly moving forward, just one day or one step or one thought at a time.
Yeah, and actually, I'm going to share a personal story, and I wouldn't normally tell this to people, but I guess now everybody's going to hear it. There was a time where I had, like, a lot of trouble just because I've gone through, you know, anxiety and depression myself just as a person for various reasons, and there was a period in my life where I, like, really couldn't get out of bed. Like, I was just really, really, really stuck. And I remember I was reading all these books about goal setting and things like that, and I realized, you know what, I'm going to just, if I can take one step outside my door, that's going to be progress. And literally for a week, one day I opened my door, I took one step out, and I ran back in. The next day I took five steps out and I ran back in. And I literally needed that to feel like I was going somewhere, because I felt like I was going nowhere and I was really stuck. And, you know, I always remember that because it made me realize that everybody's going to have their own rate of progress and everybody's going to have their own unique experiences, and it's okay to be where you're at and move as you know, as slowly or as, you know, small steps as possible. So, you know, it looks like we're coming to the end of the show, and we just want to thank you for listening today to Understanding Autism.
And we'd love to remind people that we're now available on Facebook at facebook.com/understandingautismradio. You can also find us by searching iTunes for Understanding Autism, or you can subscribe to our RSS feed at understandingautism.podbean.com.
Yes, and we are very much looking forward to tomorrow's show. We're going to be talking about how to move forward in therapy and goal setting on a budget. So I know that's going to be a very, very interesting show, and we're going to be looking forward to seeing you. And of course, we'll have Dave Isaac back with us as long as his voice is back. So thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back tomorrow.